Some of us like to see a lot of snow. Some don't want to see any. And I like it as long as you don't get without power. But I don't think we got all that to worry about. Is no snow today, but it is cold outside. But it's very warm in here. And so let's get our mind off of everything for just a little bit and focusing on worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. He is surely worthy of it this morning. I know, by the way, a prayer request. I saw the people of Wetumpka. Remember those people down there that's been affected? I don't think there was any loss of life or anything, but the church, the beautiful church, was tore all to pieces, and part of the First Baptist Church was tore up pretty bad. So y'all remember those people as they start rebuilding, and I can just imagine what they're going through right now. And thank the Lord for keeping them safe, those that was in the path and wasn't harmed. Just thank Him for that. I know we've got many prayer requests. Of course, the young lady from Ramburn that's still in bad shape, remember her. Miss Ivadale, still remember her. She's recuperating in the nursing home over here. Is doing great and was in good spirits Wednesday, so y'all continue to remember her. Many other, we've got Lee here this morning. She's got some news we need to pray about. Just ask the Lord to bless her. He knows all about it. And her husband's got to have some knee surgery, so be remembering him also. And I know we've got many more in here that's sick and got different things going on, so let's just pray for one another. We all stand in need of it. There's the scripture in James tells us to pray for one another. It tells us effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It works. Prayer works. God's not out of business. He's still the same as He was yesterday and will be the same forever. So we can know we can call upon Him, and He tells us if we pray anything according to His will, it'll be done. It may not be on my timing, but it'll be answered. So remember to pray for one another. Do you have any prayer requests we need to add? Miss Frieda, remember her. I know someone here has loved ones who wants to remember, so we'll do that. We don't have to speak names. God knows all about it. But if you just want to speak a name, that is completely fine with me. I ask you to remember me this morning as I come to preach. This is a message this morning is one that I have dealt with all week, and it's one of them you begin preparing for, and you do more saying, oh me, than you do amen. And it's something that I see in myself that I stand in need of prayer every single day, and we each one do. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Any more prayer requests? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then our singers will come forth. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given us. We thank You for the mercy and grace You provided for each one of us, God. We thank You for sending us a Savior. God, we fail You daily, but thank You for the mercy and grace You bestow upon us. And Father, I thank You for everyone that saw fit to come to Your house this morning. God, I ask that You bless us in a special way. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit is among us this morning. I pray we can feel it moving from breast to breast. And Lord, these prayer requests that's been made known, I ask that You touch in each situation. Father, the loved ones we have that are suffering, our church members that are suffering, God, we ask You to relieve it. If it be Your will, God, if it's not Your will to heal their bodies, I ask that You comfort their spirit. God, that You comfort the loved ones. And Lord, just let us learn to truly lean on You. And Lord, we know it's hard and we live in hard times, but You're still in control. And God, we thank You for protecting the lives in Wetumpka yesterday. We know there were structures torn up. Lord, we don't understand why You allow things that You allow, but we know Your way is perfect. Your timing's perfect and Your will is perfect. And God, we trust that this morning. As our singers come, ask You to touch their voices. God, allow them to sing praise unto You. Lord, we have those traveling this morning, different places. We ask You to keep them safe as they travel back to us. And Lord, let us just have a great service for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let You go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love You. Though my world may fall, I'll never let closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go.
Until the very end. Let's take time to welcome each other this morning.
Welcome, ma'am. Hey, how are you this morning? How you doing? Hey, unicorn. Y'all doing good?
Fair.
Good. Y'all didn't feel bad about being on that cruise and me having to be here?
Not at all.
I don't blame you.
Hey, we were on there with the Gospel Jubilee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, but that was great.
We had services every day.
Good. What all groups was on there?
Children of Promise, which is our kids.
Have you ever heard the Old Pass? From the one that's one of the leaders of his dad was one of our Bible college teachers. He preached our revival here this year. His son is in a quartet, the Old Pass. They're pretty well known throughout Georgia.
The ones that are on the big time groups that was there.
Good. Yeah, that'd be a good time. That'd be good. That's a good weather to come back to from a cruise, ain't it?
Yeah. It was still in the 70s. Well, we didn't get in the rain. We got almost to Atlanta.
Did y'all fly or drive?
We drove.
Drove?
6 hours.
Where'd y'all leave that up?
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer. Living Word.
Above all,
Good morning again. I guess had a great service so far, great singing. If only the preaching could be good as singing, we'd be in good shape. But what? Only time she ever says amen. This message this morning the Lord's laid on my heart, as I told you in prayer request, has been one that is tough to deal with, because I want you to understand this morning as I preach this, I stand at the same spot you do in my life and committed to the Lord. It's what we're preaching about this morning, is being committed. And I don't want you to think as I'm sitting here preaching that I'm all perfect and I'm committed as I should be and all this, because I promise you, I have failures. I have times it's weak, as we all do. But it's God's will that we are committed to Him. As I began studying about commitment this week, I read many things, and commitment is something we're seeing at a probably an all-time low in human history. Although if you study back in the Bible, there was commitment problems in the Bible. With men being committed to God, it's always has been. Honestly, our flesh don't see the need to being committed to God. And because of this, we're at a time where commitment to each other is at an all-time low. The marriage success rate, I don't want to discourage you, because someone here just has got married, but if you look at the numbers, you don't stand much of a chance. But I'm glad we don't have to look at those numbers. We can look to God. We stand a chance with God. But as you look around about commitment, there's businesses is trying all kind of things to get you committed to their products today. Now, I'm not saying that this is where we're failing, because I don't believe you have to be committed to a product and be right with the Lord. But grocery stores try reward cards. They try all kind of things to get loyalty and loyalty bonuses and all this. And y'all remember a time. Some of y'all do. I don't. I'm pretty young. I'm only about 21. But I remember a time that y'all remember more than I do. But you remember a time when people was loyal to a cause. They was loyal to a certain brand. They was loyal to a certain store, loyal to a certain person. And if you wanted something done, well, you could make a deal with somebody and you could shake their hand and that was good. You didn't need about 100 papers, and you didn't need a lawyer, and you didn't need a judge, and all these things we do today to keep us honest. You meant what you said, and you was committed to what you said. And because something has happened, and we have lost that commitment. We've lost it. And this is what I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches this. I believe our commitment to our spouses, I believe our commitment to our jobs, I believe all the failures in our commitment today is because of our failure to being committed to God. That's where our failure starts. Because we're not committed to God, and because we have no moral compass in our lives, which is God, you let a man get away from God, and he has no moral compass in his life. He has no reason to do things that the Bible says is right. He has no reason to do things. The Bible says that there's a way in which man says is right, but the end of it is death. We're seeing it going on in our nation on every way, that the way people think things should be done. Well, my friend, I want to enlighten you on something this morning, that you don't know what should be done. The only person or being alive that knows what should be done is an Almighty God. He is in control. He should be controlling us. And the fact of the business is, even in our churches today, we've lost a commitment to God. Now listen, I'm not even talking about a commitment to your office you hold in the church. I'm not even talking about a commitment to a set of standards that we hold in the church. I'm not even talking about to moral standards. I'm talking about we have lost a commitment to a holy God. And what causes this is when we lose that commitment, all those other morals start going down the drain. Because we believe there's no consequences to this thing, my friend. The Bible teaches that the most dangerous place a child of God can be is in a backslidden condition away from God. And you know why? Because He's going to discipline you and He's going to draw you back if you're His. The Bible says that if there's no chastisement, then you're not sons, then you don't belong to God. That He chastises those that are His. And if you're away from Him this morning, my friend, I want to invite you to come back. Come back and reignite that commitment that you have with God, because there's too much at stake. There's lost and dying souls going leaving out this world every single day, going into hell because people have lost their commitment to God. We've lost it. Listen, I deal with this on a daily basis. I see it on a daily basis in my own life, how easy it is to get excited about the Lord on Sunday, and then Monday morning my job takes place, and then Monday evening I go to Bible college, and then the week begins happening, and then before the middle of the week, bless my soul, I've done lost my commitment to God that I should have had. It's a struggle, it seems like, to want to study the Word of God, and this thing is there because my commitment is weak. And you know yourselves of how you are and how people has become and how it just seems that I've seen in all phases of life, not just church and not just marriages, but even on down to the recreation ball and different things of our life, there is just simply no commitment. No commitment. Now listen, this message we're going to preach this morning obviously is about commitment. There's two ways we live in our life. We either live committed or we live casual. Committed or casual. And if you turn over to Ruth, Ruth chapter 1 is the best story or the best message that I know of on the two. One of these daughter-in-laws was committed and the other one was casual. The other one was casual. She loved her mother-in-law when things was easy. She loved the situation when things was great, but when things turned south, she decided she'd go back home. The commitment was very weak. And one of the other daughter-in-laws named Ruth, y'all know the story of Ruth, and Ruth was committed. It didn't matter what happened, Ruth was there. Ruth was committed. And I want you today, I want all of us to leave out of this church and tell everybody we're going to change our name today to Ruth. To Ruth, oh, what a blessing it would be if we had a church full of Ruths. What a blessing it would be to you if you had a pastor that was a Ruth, and deacons that was Ruths, and leaders that was Ruth. I'm not talking about the name Ruth. Obviously, that would be a little weird, but if we was committed as Ruth was committed. Look in Ruth, chapter number 1, verse number 1. I'm not going to ask you to stand because I got a lot of reading. And I know everybody can't stand that well, so we'll just leave you seated this morning. But in Ruth, chapter number 1, it said, "It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, and the Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech and Naomi's husband died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, as both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Her whole family had died. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have they yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, and the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Did you notice that? Went back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And where will I be buried? The Lord do so to me, and more so, if aught death depart me and thee. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came into Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. They said, Is this Naomi? And she said to them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home, hath brought home again empty. And when they call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth and Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they became to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Father, we thank you today for this word. And Lord, I ask for just a little bit, that God, that you open their hearts, open my heart, and God, let us understand the need to be committed in this day. God, the need to be not committed just to our spouses and our jobs and our nation, but God's committed to you firstly. God, let us become committed to you and everything else will be in place. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we ask you today to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, the two choices we have today is commitment or casual. Commitment or casual. And I looked up the meaning of these two words before I decided to use them. And the meaning of commitment is pretty simple. It's an obligation that restricts freedom of action. An obligation that restricts freedom of action. When you're committed to something, it restricts things you can do. If you're committed to a husband or committed to a wife, you cannot have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's not going to go very well. If you're committed to one job and you don't show up that job and you go to another job, you're going to lose one job or both jobs. There's something that restricts you from other action. You are committed to that one thing. That is what you are about. And the other thing was casual. And the meaning of casual is pretty simple also. Not many words to explain it. It says relaxed or unconcerned. Relaxed or unconcerned or even open. So if you're casual about something, you're open to other opportunities. You're open to other positions coming open, or you're open to other relationships, or you're open to other gods, or whatever the case may be. You're open. You're not committed to one thing. And as I read this, I began saying, oh God, forgive me, because I see my relationship with God. And guess what? I'm sad to say this morning, but I found this week that I am casual in my relationship to God. You know why? Because I allow other things to come in and take His place. You see, if I'm committed to God, there is no room for anything else. But the sad thing is, in my life, and I can't speak for you, but it's probably true in your life also, you are not committed to Him either. I think we're seeing a struggle with that. I don't think we have probably ever saw it in perfection because we are fallen people. We won't know this thing in perfection until we're in glory with Him. But He desires us to live as close to commitment as we can to Him. And listen, we would be amazed what would happen in our nation and even in our little church if we could just get committed somewhat to God and not become casual about a relationship. Hey, I've seen it. I have been in your place where you stand. I have not always been a pastor. I've seen times when I'd get up on Sunday morning and I was supposed to be committed to God, but I've saw times when I'd get up and the sun be shining and I'd look over at Stephanie and say, what do you think we ride so-and-so today? I think God will forgive us, maybe. That's our thinking. And so we decide that we're just going to miss church that day and we're going to miss this day. Or that's just an example. That's not something you got to hold to. But listen, look, we become open to other opportunities. It don't take much to change our minds this morning. I was in a place this morning, we was talking about the power was out, and there was one guy said, yeah, I don't know if we're going to have church this morning. We don't have power. And listen, I understand that it's cold and different things. But bless God, if we was committed to that thing as we was committed to other things, it don't stop many other things besides church. We can be without power and we'll do many other things. We'll go outside and deer hunt in the cold, or we'll do all these other things because we're committed to them. And listen, and our church relationship with God and with His church many times is casual. It's casual. We live at a time, I wrote this down, I didn't mention it a while ago, but I got to because it's a little comical. But these kids that we're raising up this day, they have a motto they're living by. And it's called YOLO. Didn't know what that meant for a long time. It means you only live once. And they think that means do exactly what you want to do. You be open to whatever comes because you're not getting another opportunity at life. And I agree with that. You only live once. But brother, if you see the sincerity and the responsibility we have to be committed to God, you'll understand how important it is that you be committed because you only get one opportunity. You may get only one opportunity to interact with that person that you meet today. You may only get one opportunity to meet with that person tomorrow that you'll meet. Or whatever, you may get one opportunity to impact them, to impact the kingdom of God with that person. You may only get that one opportunity. And how so meaning we need to be committed. Ruth and Orpah are wonderful, wonderful examples of the two. I just tell you, I have never seen a better example. Let's go on to here this morning. Number one, we're going to teach about the casual follower first. The casual follower. I want you to see about this casual follower named Orpah. She was a daughter-in-law, and the Bible says they'd probably been there about 10 years, the family had, and these boys had took Moabite wives, which that was completely against God's will. God did not want them marrying Moabites. He plainly taught that. That was not to happen. He told them to keep only from their own people, not to intermarry. And by the way, Elimelech is the one to blame for all of this. He left the house of bread when they thought there was no bread and went to a place where there never would be bread. And he was in God's city. He was at the place where God was going to bless. But he left before God answered that. I could preach all day about that, but that's not what we're about this morning. So here there's at this place, they married wives. They got these two wives. One name was Orpah. One name was Ruth. And the husband died before they even got married, I believe it says. And then the two boys died. Naomi is left without anything but her daughter-in-laws. And she saw, she said, these daughter-in-laws are young. There's no reason they'd be without husbands. I'm too old to have kids. Even if so, they wouldn't wait long enough for the kids to come. So I tell you what, daughter-in-laws, y'all just go back to your old life. And now listen, in Moab, they worshiped many gods. They didn't worship the one true God of Israel. They worshiped many false gods, which was immoral in all their actions. There was nothing moral about the gods they worshiped. And here these godly people had come into a land to try to find rest from their own land, and they got tied up with this mess. So here they are. They have died. They're on their way back to Bethlehem. And Naomi looks over and says, I tell you what, girls, y'all go back. And the Bible says that Orpah even kissed her mother-in-law. Now you say to a preacher, you're saying she's a casual follower. She must not have been very casual because she kissed her mother-in-law and she cried. Oh my goodness, we think today if we're in a service and emotion gets to flowing, then surely that must have been a good service. I want to tell you something that I have saw throughout all my preaching life and all my church life. Your emotions will lie to you. Your emotions will lie. Now listen, I understand when God moves in, emotions start flowing. I understand that and I know that, and everything emotional is not alive. But you cannot go on emotions. It looked like this was a committed woman. She kissed her mother-in-law. She said, Naomi, I can't leave you. I want to stay here. And it says she wept bitterly. But then Naomi tells her again, says, go back to your people. And the thing that I've caught my eyes, it said, go back to your gods. Go back to your people and return unto your gods. And she did this thing. She listened to her mother-in-law. Now I want to tell you something. If that lady had been committed, what her mother-in-law said would not have mattered. If she had been all teary-eyed and all crying and that thing was real, she would have never, ever had left her. Let me show you the same thing happened in John. Chapter number 6, verse 63 through 67. Look at this. Jonathan's out today, so you've got to give him a little liberty here. There. Struggling back there. It said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except you were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now what had just happened? The emotions had gotten over with, hadn't they? Because Jesus spoke the truth. He said, by the way, you cannot even come to me unless God bids you to come. You can't even be a saved today unless God draws you to be saved. And so all of a sudden they said, oh my goodness, this is hard sayings. I tell you what we'll do. We'll just go back to our old ways. We don't want to do things Jesus' way. We'll just go back to our old way. And listen, you think that Jesus would never made it as a pastor today. He lost thousands of followers that day. They would have voted him out because there wasn't a crowd in the place. But Jesus preached the truth unto them and told them the truth. And when the emotions was over with, they truly had never believed upon him. If they had of, they would not have turned around and left. They was casual followers. And that's what she was here today. She was a casual follower. Listen, she kissed her mother-in-law. And you know me, I just had to Google why, scientific-wise, why do we kiss? Y'all youngsters, listen up. Somebody go get them kids down there. Why we kiss? I never wondered it till the other day. I know everybody likes to kiss. If you don't, men, you may say you don't, but you're a liar. We all like to kiss. We kiss babies. You might even kiss your little old squirt puppy, whatever his name is. We kiss different things. We kiss our wives. We kiss our grandbabies. We kiss our husbands. But does anybody know why we kiss? Because when we kiss, the act triggers a chemical in our brain that starts emotions flowing. It's called the love emotion. And when you kiss, it triggers that thing in your brain and gives you all warm and fuzzy. That good feeling that you're loved and that you love someone. And listen, how many times do we see these youngsters go out and they kiss this little girl and they come home and boy, they say, they write all these things. They write in their journals, they write in their books that I'll love you forever. Next week, there's another one wrote in there. I'll love you forever. Heart, baby, heart, the love of my life. Next week, there'll be another heart, baby, heart. You know why? This is comical, but it's true. It's because our emotions fooled us. Our emotions fooled us. She kissed her mother-in-law. The emotions getting weeping up. And she said, surely I must leave you. But when the thoughts began coming and the matter, the truth of the matter began coming, no longer did she have a husband. No longer did she have anybody. She was going to a land where her gods was not going to be there. She would have to worship the one true God. She would have to live according to the word of God. She would have to live like God says. So she said, you know what I'll do? I love my mother-in-law Naomi, but I'm going back home. She really, really wasn't committed. She was committed as long as her husband was alive. She was committed as long as everything was good down in Moab. But when it come time to leave, when it come time for the rubber to meet the road, she was no longer committed. It's the same thing that happens in Christians' lives today. And when we get in church, we're happy-go-lucky. Everything's great. And all of a sudden, we hear a message on commitment. The Holy Spirit pricks our life and says, boy, if you was committed, you'd be committed to me. If you was truly committed, you just wouldn't be here when things are great. You just wouldn't be excited when the numbers are up. You just wouldn't be on fire when people's been saved. If you was truly committed to me, it wouldn't matter what happened. Your emotions wouldn't take place. You would be committed to the truth, and that is me. So I had to figure out something this week, and it wasn't fun to admit that I am casual. I'm casual, but I desire to be committed. So Orpah turned and went back. Let me ask you something. You know the number one fear of us from truly being committed to God is leaving the things that are familiar. Leaving the sins that have become fun. You said, wait a minute, preacher, there's no fun in sin. My pastor in the past told me that. Well, if he told you that, he's a liar. Because the Bible says there's fun in sin for a season. It is fun. Hey, if it wasn't fun, why did people get caught up in it? Why would David have been caught up in this thing if it wasn't fun? Why would any of these other men have been caught up in sin? Why would they be there if it wasn't fun? I tell you why it is, because it is fun, and we see it as something comfortable. We see it as something we don't want to leave. And if you become wholly committed to God, your whole way of life has to change. Your interest has to change. Your desires has to change. Your whole life has to change. And that's the reason in 2019, bless God, we see very, very few people that are committed to God, including myself. I get up here and rant and rave every Sunday, but am I committed? No, I am not. And I'm ashamed of that. And I struggle with it. I have things that, God, I thought about it this week. Why am I not committed to God? And this thing come up because you like that. Why am I not committed to God? Because you enjoy this. Why am I committed to God? It's simple. If I want to be committed to God, I've got to get away from those gods that's back there in Moab. I got to go forward with Naomi to the land of God, to that place called Bethlehem where the bread is and where I'll never have to worry about anything. But I just won't, because those old gods back there are calling my name and I enjoy them and I like them, and I just don't see a reason to really leave them. Is that not the truth this morning? Amen. We can't get away from them. We're casual Christians. Casual. You see, she knew Naomi. I know the Lord. You know the Lord. She embraced Naomi. She wept with Naomi. She even kissed Naomi. She went all this way with Naomi, but when it got time to make the ultimate decision, she turned around and went back. She was open to other opportunities. She was open. And Orpah, I challenge you to find anywhere else in Scripture. You may can in other history. I didn't study this. But in Scripture, you will not find the name Orpah ever mentioned again in Scripture. Never again. We just have to assume that she went back to Moab and married somebody else, probably had more children or had children, and probably worshipped her false gods, and probably, for certain, died without knowing the true holy God of Israel. How sad is that? Now, she could have learned enough from Naomi. I don't know. She could have learned enough to trust the true God. But she wasn't committed. If she'd been committed to that true God, then she would have went on to the land of God with Naomi. That's a casual follower. She was very open to other opportunities. Now let's look at the committed follower. Her name is Ruth. You'll see a better picture of this in Romans 12. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Oh, that's that part we don't like, does it? That means set apart. That means different. That means right with God. Acceptable unto God. You can't be acceptable to God if you're not holy. You can't be holy unless you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Present your living body a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And it don't say this is unreasonable. It said this is your reasonable service. This is what's expected of you. Commitment. If you present your bodies to God as a sacrifice, my friend, you are committed. It is your reasonable service. Let's look at Ruth. Ruth says, entreat me not to turn around. In other words, don't make me. I don't want to turn around, and if you try to make me, I am not turning around or returning from following thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people's my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. And where you buried, that's where I'll be buried. And the Lord do so to me. The Lord destroy me, she's saying. Hey, if I leave you before we die, if I turn around from you, then you let God do to me what seems good unto him, Ruth told her. Ruth is a complete picture of dedication to God. A complete picture. She says, it don't matter. Where you go, I'm going. I wonder if us today, how many of us would say we're committed to God, and all of a sudden he said, okay, Pastor, why don't you just pull up from Muscadine, Alabama, and Heflin, Alabama, and Ramburn, and everywhere you're tied to, won't you just pull up and go to China right now where you won't have anything. You won't have that nice house you used to. You won't have them nice cars you used to. You won't have that cushy little job you're used to. You won't have all those things you used to. Why don't you just leave that and go back? And you know what I begin saying? But God, I'm doing what you want me to do right here. Oh, surely this must be it. But she said, where you go, I'll go. That's how we should be today. Now listen, again, I'm telling you, this is how we should be. And I'm sad to say, this is not how I am. And I don't think it's how any of us in this building is. But this is how we should be. Wherever God sends, we should go. Wherever he bids us to go, we should go that place. And listen, not make up 100,000 excuses why we can't. If God bids you to go, my friend, then there's a way to go. If God's telling you to go that way, then I promise you, that way is going to be right. If God tells you to come after me and wherever I send you, there you'll be. I'm telling you, there's not a better place to be than in the center of God's will. It may be in China, it may be in Africa, and it can't even be in Heflin, Alabama. But there's no place better to be right in the center of God's will. Where you go, I'll go. Where you'll die, I'll die. Naomi was fully committed. She was giving Ruth was giving Naomi everything she could. She was saying, Naomi, I love you, I'm committed to you, and I'm going, listen, by the way, this is not put in here because God wants us a warm and fuzzy story about a mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law. This thing's put here of a picture of us and how we're supposed to be with God. A great picture of it. Where you go, I'll go. And by the way, she had the same family, not the same family, but a family in Moab. And she was comfortable there. Her life was grounded there. She had the same false gods in Moab that Orpah had. She had everything over in Moab that Orpah had, but yet the difference was that Orpah was casual, she was committed, and she was ready to leave that because she had a committed heart. And the difference was, I believe, it don't really tell us this, but I believe it's true, that not only was she committed to Naomi, but I believe she had formed her relationship with a true and a living God. I believe Ruth had been saved by grace. I believe she realized, I'm a Moab. I'm away from the true God. I have met this family who has showed me what it is to trust in a living God. And I believe she come to know him. And she said, I'm not going to leave that because that's the only thing that I have seen real in my life is Naomi's relationship to her God. And I'm going to follow that. I'm going to go with it wherever it goes. And they listen, we read a good bit about Ruth in Scripture. We read about where she met this man named Boaz. And oh, what a picture of Jesus Christ he is. And how she gleans in his field and how he gives her freedom to glean wherever she wants to glean for him. And then he comes in, he's her kinsman redeemer. You could preach all day about that. But listen, what was the difference in her and Orpah? Well, she was committed. We never hear about Orpah again in Scripture. But Ruth changed history. Go study your lineage of Jesus Christ and find out who's there. An old no good for nothing Moabitess named Ruth, who simply was committed enough to follow her mother-in-law to a land that she knew not, to follow her mother-in-law to a place that was unfamiliar, that didn't make any sense. I don't know if I've ever met anybody like Ruth. I don't know if you have either. I don't know if we've ever read much in the Scripture about Ruth. Like Ruth, Ruth was truly a lady that walked with God. She walked with her mother-in-law. I believe she walked with God. I want to ask you today, have you ever heard much about anybody that walked with God? I began thinking about this, about who I knew that walked with God. And of course, y'all know that Bob Adams, I preach, mentioned him, I preach a lot. Other men that I've been in known throughout ministry and my Christian life that I think was pretty close to God, but I don't think they was wholly committed to God. I don't think they was wholly committed, because I only read about in Scripture two men that was wholly committed to God. Outside of Jesus Christ, we know that he was, obviously, he was a complete son of God. He was absolutely human and absolutely God at all times. He was 100% committed to the faith to God. He was committed to everything of God because, bless God, he was God. But listen, two other men, Enoch and Noah. Study your Bible, you'll find out these are the only two men the Bible ever says they walked with God. You'll never find it nowhere else in your Scripture. If you do, my word search is a liar, and I'll correct it. But I don't think you will. Anybody remember the story of Enoch? He was taken. He never died. Remember that? And the Bible says he walked with God. And because he walked with God, didn't have to suffer physical death, God took him out of this world. The next person you read about who walked with God was Noah. Noah walked with God. Noah lived at a time where the Bible says every single person's heart was continually on evil. But Noah walked with God. And Noah's walk with God is the reason you and I are here today. He preserved humanity. God preserved humanity through Noah building a boat, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. And the reason you're here today is because of him. Now you can go back and you can find people who were somewhat committed to God, such as I am, such as you are. They're the reason you're here today. Was they wholly committed to God? Obviously not. We don't read much about them in Scripture. I know that's kind of funny to say, but if you was wholly committed to God and you truly walk with God, they would be a great different soul in our lives. I'll probably leave this walks of life and it'll never be remembered of me no more who I was. It's because I never truly walked with God. I had a Bible college professor said he thought the reason we don't walk with God today is we got too many distractions. And we're humans. As good as you think you are, your flesh is filthy rags. Your righteousness of God is filthy rags. And you are not committed. And I think we even have a little excuse. We've got so many distractions. So many distractions around us. But we can't blame it on that, because God gives us free will. I get to decide each day what will get my attention. Each day I get up, I get to decide, is this going to be a day that I serve God? Or is this going to be a day that I serve those other gods? Is this going to be a day that I go back to those other gods? Is this going to be a day that I serve the one true God? It's an ongoing cycle every day. We go to bed, we ask forgiveness. Wake up, we start it over again. Ongoing cycle. Being close to God, away from God. Close to God, away from God. Being with God, going back. Goes on in our lives. Been reading a book by Johnny Hunt about breaking the strongholds in our lives. The first thing he says in the book, are you tired of an ongoing cycle? Of where you come to God and you cry out for forgiveness, a day later you're back in the same shape. The problem there, the problem in our lives today, is the lack of commitment. Oh, but we get a choice. We get a choice. We get to choose. Joshua 24, verse 15 through 25, and I'm closing. I just want you to read this and listen to this. Joshua is telling them today, it's time that you choose. Be committed to God. Be committed to what's behind you. You straddle the fence long enough. You've been on one side or the other long enough. You can't, for some reason, we like to think we're in the middle. Have you ever met people who said they're an Auburn fan and an Alabama fan? It may be you, but I can't stand them people. I like for you, if you like Auburn, bless your heart. If you like Alabama, I think you're on the right side, all but one game. If you like Clemson, we ain't even going to talk. No, seriously. I like people where if you like a Ford, I want you to like a Ford. If you like a Chevrolet, then I want you to like a Chevrolet. If you like a Dodge, we'll pray for you. Listen. What I'm saying is, as a country song said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. There's so much truth in that. You've got to stand for something. And boy, we don't see nobody standing for nothing. But listen to this. Joshua tells us today, you need to choose. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's exactly what we would say today. Preacher, there's no way I'd serve anybody but Jesus. Listen to what Joshua tells them. For the Lord God, He is that brought us up by our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all in the way where we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out among us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He's a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nah, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves, that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him. He's saying, okay. And they agreed. They said, we are witnesses. Joshua was saying, today you need to make a choice. I have decided that my family and I are following Jesus. But you decide today who you want to choose. If you think it's bad to serve the Lord, then you just decide who you want to serve and serve Him. Just serve Him if that's what you want to do. But if you're going to serve the Lord, the true God, then be known to this. You've got to be wholly committed to Him. If not, He will turn and do you hurt. They was like, I can just imagine their minds working on this, trying to comprehend what Joshua was telling them. Joshua was telling them in Alabama language, if you're going to follow Jesus, follow Him wholeheartedly. If you're not going to follow Him, you might as well not even try. You might as well just be at home watching football or wherever it is on your heart. Wherever that other God is that's taking His place, you might as well be back there if you can't follow Him wholly. If you can't be fully committed to Him. And I began thinking about this. I think I just preached to them that only two men in history we read about was ever really committed. How in the world can I be wholly committed to God? And to answer this, the only hope I have is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because I am a fleshly, fallen human being that is only saved by the mighty grace of God. And the only hope I have is Jesus Christ. There's going to be days that I'm committed. There's going to be days, and I'm sad to say it, but it's just honest, that I've went back. I shared a thing this week from Spurgeon that said, you can stand before God as Jesus because Jesus stood before God as you. Jesus has already took the condemnation that was yours. And you and all of your uncommitted ways, if you have received Him in your life, you've felt that draw and you've chose Him as your Savior, you've said yes to that draw, you get to stand before the Almighty God as if you're Jesus Christ. Is that not crazy? That don't make any sense to me. But my friend, that is grace and mercy. But I think today that God wants us to strive as hard as we can to be committed. We are seeing what happens when a nation takes its eyes off the Lord. I'm not going to get on all that. You can study it and you know it, and it's plain as day. Oh, how I look and I see, and I was watching the news the other night. Something was come on. Oh, I was watching something on one show, and this thing come on about this women march. All these women marched on these cities. And how it started off as this and that. And guess what? The woman they found out responsible for this, behind all this, she's tied in with the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan. And all this stuff. And they're saying all these things they stand for. And all the equality of everybody. And how everything. And listen, that's what the Bible says. There's a way that seems right unto man. It ends as death. You don't listen to her. You don't listen to me even. You listen to the Word of God. If He says it's right, it's right. If He said it's wrong, it's wrong. The years don't change it. The times changing don't change it. Anything don't change it. What God's Word says still stands. Right's right in His right and wrong's wrong. There's no middle ground. Today, will you choose to be committed as much as you can? I know the distractions are coming. I know that thing. I'll preach this today and tomorrow I'll struggle with it. I'll probably struggle with it before the day's over. And you will too. But if we could just focus ourselves to becoming more committed to God and being the type of person that Ruth was, that where God sends us, we'll go. Where He tells us to die, we'll be happy to die there. as long as we're following Him. It's a big choice. It's a big choice, and boy, we struggle. But I want to tell you today, our commitment is something that is hurting. Something that is hurting. You talk to people in employment. Oh, it's tough. You'll get people, they'll tell you, I'll be there Monday morning to go to work. Never see them. You'll say, I got people that'll be there to pick up a part at so-and-so time. We've got where we don't even pull the part off till they get there. They don't mean what they say. Only way you can get in commitments, get their money. We even had one person, we got $200 of his money and never showed back up. You have to get money towards things to even hold it for people now. You can't take a thing of what they say. And this all comes back to their no commitment to the one and true living God. Everything else begins falling in the same direction. If you would, please stand. This has been one of the hardest messages I've ever had to study for, because I see myself as the least in this thing. I don't know about you today, but if I had to be stand before God right now and say, how committed am I would be failing miserably. If you are today, maybe you're here and you don't even know the Lord. You've never asked Him to save you. You felt the Spirit draw, but you've never said, Lord, come into my heart, forgive me my sins, and save me. You can be saved today. You may be here and you may have been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You may have lost that commitment. At one time in your life, you may have been committed, but it fell by the wayside. You went back to Moab and began serving everything that was over there. Will you come back today? Will you come back? I believe with all my heart, if all of a sudden Orpah said, you know what? I don't like it here. I'm going to find Naomi. I believe Naomi would have opened her doors and said, come on in. Come on in. There's bread here in Bethlehem. This is the house of bread. Why wouldn't there not be bread here? What about you today? Will you return? It's one of them hard sermons. We get to do like Joshua today. We get to choose. We get to choose if we'll be committed or we happy just the way it is. What will you do today? Will you commit unto Him?